Hey, welcome to the Phil Henry Show here, final hour on the El Pacifico, right here on the further western edge of this here United States, y'all. And with me is Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard. We also have Larry Grover on the line with us. Jack Armstrong is on the line with us. We're going to talk here about politics, regional, if you will, state politics. And a story here, Wendy Davis, Margaret, running for governor of the state of Texas. Now, she is a decided... She's not a conservative. She's a liberal. She's a liberal Democrat. She was the woman that filibustered there in the state capitol in Texas to ensure that some form of I believe women's or women's health care, I should say, would survive in the state of Texas. She, according to this news item in the Star-Telegram, she walked across the stage at the Wiley G. Thomas Coliseum more than 30 years ago to accept her diploma from Richland High School, and on Thursday she returned to that stage to kick off her bid to become Texas's 48th governor.
Yes, and she is attractive. She was born in West Warwick, Rhode Island, moved with her family to Fort Worth, Texas, though, in 1973 with her father, Jerry Russell, who was a local actor-director. He founded Stage West Theater in Fort Worth. Her mother was Virginia Cornstubble. Her parents did divorce. Then she went to live with her mother. She graduated from Richland High School in 1982. She married Frank Underwood. The two had a daughter, Amber. They were divorced in 1984. She also enrolled that year at Tarrant County College after a coworker gave her a pamphlet about paralegal program. Then she transferred to Texas Christian University, paid for by scholarships. She married Jeffrey Davis, a Fort Worth attorney, in 1987, and in 1988, their daughter Drew was born. Just a little bit of the resume here of Wendy Davis.
All right, now let's get back on the line here with Jack Armstrong in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And also with us is Larry Grover. Larry is in Culver City, California. And we're talking here about Wendy Davis. And the fact is that you did agree, and we had a little bit of a contretemps before we left for our break at the top of the hour. Larry, you didn't want to talk about Wendy Davis. And the question is why.
Well, look at, you know, this is something that is going to be lied about for a long time. Jack Armstrong, you know, you can say what you want. And Margaret, you can say what you want. Wendy Davis and I knew each other. I met her in Dallas. We dated frequently. And I double dated with Jack and a girl. And I decided that I didn't want to have sex with her. And that was it. And I was waiting for Jack while he finished with some woman. And that's really...
I got to jump in here.
No, you don't jump in until I'm finished. That's the story. And anything you say that goes against that is a lie.
I think it's a very terrible thing, Larry, for you to say something like that. You and I knew each other when we were young men, and I think it's a terrible thing for you to say the thing that you just said.
Well, I just told you essentially the truth.
The truth is this, Phil. We did double date one night. Myself, Larry, went out with Wendy Davis. This is before she met her husband. And I was with a young lady named Mary. I won't mention her last name. Mary and I had a very good relationship. We double dated through the movie. While we came back to my apartment, Mary and I, we paired off. And Mary and I went to another section of the house. Somebody knocked on the door. It was Wendy. She says, "We got to go home now, Mary." So Mary got the keys to the car. And I come downstairs, and there's Larry sitting on the floor looking like he's going to cry. And I said, "What happened?" And he's all, "Oh, it wasn't looking like it. I decided I did not want to sleep with her." Well, okay, whatever, but you were sitting on the floor looking all... You had one arm resting on your knee, sitting on the floor, looking up at the wall. And when I said to you, "What's going on?" You just, you threw your hands up in the air like, "What do I got to do to get laid?"
I didn't say anything of the sort. That is, something, Phil?
Hold on. Okay, you're reading something into it, Jack. I mean, I don't think...
I'm not reading nothing into it. You know exactly that was it. You're changing the story now. Okay?
What I did, Phil, is we went out to see Night of the Living Dead and Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things. I remember it was a double feature.
Oh, for God's sake, we don't need to know the movie that you saw.
Well, I want people to know that I remember that night.
Am I right or wrong? That's we did. We went out. It was a New Year's Eve. We saw Night of the Living Dead and children shouldn't play with dead things, right?
Okay. And you're with a girlfriend. She was your girlfriend. Okay.
No, I'm not saying that she wasn't.
All right. And Wendy and I had been. We'd gone out. You know.
Well, how many times had you gone out with Miss Davis?
We went out maybe a half a dozen times. And you thought that was the night. That was going to be the night. I didn't say anything of the sort. I didn't say anything else. I said to you, you know what? I've changed my mind. I don't need to get laid.
You said to me that night, you said it had been like 6 months, and if it doesn't, and you said if something good doesn't happen to you, you were going to mount a cardboard cutout of Earl Scheib that you had. Didn't you say that? You were joking, I know, of course.
Yes, and I was joking.
Okay, but you said that.
What? No, wait. I've got to break in here because I'm losing my voice. Larry, you told me that you didn't want to talk about Wendy Davis because she was cold to you. Didn't you say that?
Yes, I said that, but I said that because I didn't feel like sleeping with her. See, what's going on here, Mr. Henry, is the following thing. Because I'm a conservative and Ms. Gray and Mr. Armstrong are liberals, they can gang up on me and make it look like I can't get it up.
I'm not hearing that at all. As a matter of fact, if I will say this, there's a little bit of a in you, Margaret, and in you, Mr. Armstrong, there is a sort of a childish finger pointing going on here about ha 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 ha. You couldn't sleep with Wendy Davis or something like that.
No, Phil, but keep in mind, this is the point of the Larry did not want to talk about Wendy Davis. Why is that? Okay.
I didn't want to talk about Wendy Davis because I have a history with her, okay? And I didn't think it'd be fair.
Well, Larry, you could have said that, and I think we would have said okay, but you didn't mention anything. You just said that you would speak with us about the Texas governor race, okay?
Well, I didn't know that Wendy Davis was running, all right?
Well, you know something, my friend? You have to be a little bit more tuned in about it, okay? You got to be tuned in about it.
I'll listen to you. Listen to you.
Man, look, Larry, I'm not saying anything. The night we come home from that movie, me and Mary went to the bedroom, okay?
Yeah, and I want to say something, too. The two of you were very rude that night. I could hear you through the wall, as Wendy could, too, and it was disgusting.
I'm sorry, you know.
It was disgusting listening to you. And all that. And so I realized it was a no-go.
Hey, I came out of that bedroom after Wendy knocked on the door, said she had to leave, and Mary got her purse, got dressed, all that stuff. Come downstairs. You're sitting on the floor with your hand on your knee, with your elbow on your knee, looking up at the sky or something, and you're like, you know, what do I got to do to get laid, man? Do I got to add it under 4 inches? I mean, you know, and I said, and I made the joke, remember? I said, well, that'd make it a whopping 5, and you go, ha-ha, like, you know?
Yeah, and you made your joke, and that's when I said, you know, to hell with it, and I went home.
Right, and he got in the car, went home, Phil, and get a load of this. The car that he went home in, the girls had to take the car home. Because there's only two cars, there's my car, his car, see? Because he picked up Wendy, so I had to take the girls home.
All right, this is getting more bizarre as we go along, okay?
Well, I knew that this was going to happen. I just knew that you were going to take the occasion to paint me to look like a real nerd, a real loser. And
all right, hold on, Larry Grover and Jack Armstrong.
Well, that's essentially a true story. Now, I don't know about all the particulars of what movie they saw, this and that, but that is essentially true. He did go out with Wendy Davis. It was not a very pleasant evening, and he wants nothing to do with talking about her.
Well, he's going to have to if she's now running for governor of Texas. So there you go. And that's kind of how that, that's kind of how that thing goes. World famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. Back in just a moment here, more with Larry Grover, Jack Armstrong, and Margaret Gray, and like that. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, the L.A. Podfest on Saturday, 4 to 5:30. Bobby Dooley, come on out and say hello. Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com all the way to 10 o'clock on the West Coast and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. Well, what a contretemps this is. That's a good word, by the way, one that I never learned the meaning of, but...
What guy spell it?
I don't know.
Well, I'll spell it for you later. Look, Larry is on the other line. I think you need to get something straightened out with him because we're not going to get to the discussion that we want to have, all right? Now, I'm sorry if I'm coming on like Big Daddy and Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, you know.
What?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Big Daddy. You never saw Cat on a Hot Tin Roof?
Well, yeah. What do you mean?
When I say y'all gotta have.
Oh, yeah. Big Daddy talk like a white man.
Yes, he talked like a white man. That's because he was a white man. Wow.
Yeah, what do you mean?
Yeah, what do you mean? I mean,
what I'm talking about, get him on the phone, will you, so that I'm not talking to you idiots, if you don't mind.
Hey, hold on for a minute, Margaret. You know, I don't like being called that, you know?
What?
An idiot.
Well, where's Larry, please?
Jack Armstrong right now, Margaret. I don't know if Larry is on the phone or not.
Well, is he there?
Let's find out. Hey, Larry. Yeah, he's on there right now.
Because of the things that I've been called in my life, but for a guy to want to call me a limp you-know-what, and...
Nobody's calling you that, Larry. All we're asking is why you didn't want to talk about Wendy Davis. And the reason why you don't want to talk about Wendy Davis is there's some misunderstanding having to do with a personal interaction that you had. Now, were you with Jack Armstrong that night, or were you not?
I was with Jack. What do you mean by was I with him? You know, nobody's talking about some gay hookup. They're talking about was you and I double dating. Yeah, we were double dating. All right, I was out with Mary, you were out with Wendy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now Mary and I, Phil, just, you know, we've been going out. I mean, we were pretty much steady, you know. So this was me and Mary. Now, we've been going out maybe 2-3 years. And in fact, at this point, I don't know if we was living together or not. Maybe we was. I don't know.
You know, for a political analyst, you talk like a real idiot, you know that? You talk like you haven't got one clue as to how to speak good.
Let me tell you, my friend, I write blogs, and I also do articles on a Huffington Post.
Well, that explains that, you know.
Well, what is that supposed to mean? Look, let's talk some turkey, okay? Let's quit talking like a couple of nitwits, and let's talk turkey. Do you mind?
All right, I'll talk turkey with you. Wendy Davis will be a disaster for the state of Texas. She's a liberal, a tax and spend liberal that will bankrupt the state of Texas at a time when Texas is one of the few states that has been, in my opinion, a shining example of how to do things right.
Well, you know, Wendy Davis may tax and spend Texas into oblivion, or maybe it's just the fact that Wendy Davis didn't want to have nothing to do with Larry Grover in a bedroom, you know?
I see, this is what I mean, Mr. Henry. I knew that this would be a part of it.
All right, well, let me ask a question here. Let me ask a question.
Don't be a child, Larry.
Hold on, let me ask a question. Larry, is your opinion, before I even talk to Jack and Margaret about their opinion, is your opinion of Wendy Davis's chance as governor of Texas, is it colored at all by your personal experience with her?
No, it is not. Absolutely not.
Boy, is that a lie. You talk about me being a liar. That's a filthy, dirty, crawling lie.
A filthy, dirty lie? How do you figure that? You knew? Look, am I a conservative?
Hey, don't yell at me, man.
Am I a conservative?
Yes, you are.
Is Wendy a liberal?
Yes, she is.
Well, then why would I not be opposed to Wendy Davis?
Well, for one thing, Larry, you talk about her being a disaster for the state of Texas, almost in a biblical sense. I mean, you're really talking about this woman being a disaster.
Yes, I think any liberal would be a disaster. All right, and you want me to say that Wendy is not my favorite because we didn't hit it off. Let me explain something. We were in that car. All right, I'll talk about that date. We were making out. Were we not making out? Who? Who do you think? Me and Wendy Davis.
Oh, yeah, you guys were kissing in the back seat. Yeah,
okay. And I thought that it was a fait accompli. I thought it's a done deal. We'll make out. We'll see the last part of this. I forget which one we were walking. What was it? The children were the living dead children, or
no? It was we were watching Night of the Living Dead. Children shouldn't play with dead things, but we never watched that. We went and we saw Bloodsuckers.
Right, and we were making out at the tail end of Bloodsuckers, and I said, you know what? This is a done deal. I am in like Flint.
We'll watch the tail end of Bloodsuckers and watch the open to Living Dead, and then let's get the hell out of here. Isn't that what I said to you?
Yeah, you were bugging me.
You know, I wasn't bugging you. What do you mean bugging you?
You were poking me in the back and saying, come on, let's get out of here. Let's get out of here because, you know, this is a done deal. And I'm saying, well, let's watch the movie. And you're like, you know.
Well, I mean, come on. You know, you don't get too many chances like that in life.
All right, well, so do you really want to talk about this?
I think this is doing you more harm, Larry, than good.
No, it's not doing me. How is it doing me more harm? I'm going to tell you. No, I'm saying, Phil, no, I don't want to talk about it. I just want to get the truth out there, for God's sake, okay?
Larry, I told the truth.
No, you did not. I said, let's get out of here. And we did. And I'm thinking it's a done deal. We go back up to Jack's apartment, okay? And
wait, now, where was this at this time?
This was around USC, okay? It was an apartment off of USC, off the campus near the Coliseum.
Okay.
And we go back, and Jack immediately bounds up the stairs. By the way, Jack, you know, you talk about me not having any class. You bounded up the stairs about 30 seconds ahead of Mary. And all I heard from the bedroom was, come on, Mary, hurry it up, and stuff like that.
Well, come on, man. I mean, she's my girlfriend. I can speak to her in a familiar way.
Oh, gee, it was grotesque.
Listen to this guy talking about how to treat a woman, you know?
Well, you bounded up the stairs with a big smile on your face. You're like, come on, baby, let's get it going. And she went up the stairs like she was a kitchen slave. Like she was looking forward to nothing but hell on earth.
Okay, you know, this is getting really personal.
No kidding.
Who needs to hear about this?
Well, I'm trying to set this thing up so you don't think I'm the biggest slob that ever walked the face of the earth.
Look, man, I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to make you feel bad or make you look bad or anything, Larry.
You're not trying to make me look bad, not at all. You're bounding up the stairs with Mary. All I hear coming from that bedroom is, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And
you also heard her squealing.
Boy, you are a real animal.
Would you stop, please?
You really are an animal.
No, but I'm trying to make a point. If you heard her squealing, that means she wasn't no kitchen slave.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, thank you.
And anyway...
Thank you.
Anyway, Wendy and I...
Thank you.
Will you shut up and let me finish?
Come on, Jack.
So I said to Wendy, let's get to it. And she looked at me with the big wide eyes like she had no idea what I was talking about. And I said, come on, you know, get your pants off
You didn't tell her that.
What do you mean I didn't tell her that?
Larry, I want to know something. Did you say to her, let's get to it?
Maybe you didn't hear me. We were making out in the back of the car.
Oh, boy.
No, not oh, boy. We were making out in the back of the car. It was a done deal. You want me to tell you? I mean, I had my hand. She let me do some stuff. Okay?
Fine.
Okay, I get it. So now I'm the real weird freak kid, and Jack, he's the one that gets straight A's, and he's going to get a donut, and I got a corn cob wedge.
Look at Larry. This is not doing you any good. You wanted to talk about this. It ain't doing you any good. Okay? The whole thing about, come on, get your pants off, that is not the way you talk to a woman, and I have no doubt in my mind now why it was she didn't want to sleep with you that night, and you wound up sitting on the floor, okay?
Wait a minute. Since when is the narrative I wind up sitting on the floor and looking like, you know, what does it take to get laid?
That's what happened that night, man. I said to you... I go, what do I got to do to get laid? Grow 4 more inches, and I said, that would make it an even 5, and you went, ha-ha. Remember?
I remember the joke, but are you trying to tell me that you interpreted that to mean that she didn't sleep with me?
Well, when you said to me, what do I got to do to get laid, what am I supposed to think?
Well, this is very typical of liberals.
Wait a minute, man. How has this got anything to do with politics?
It has everything to do with it, because I knew I was going to come on, and I was going to talk about the Texas governor race, and then all of a sudden, Wendy Davis's name comes up, and I start talking about the night we went to see Night of the Children That Sucked the Dead Thing, or whatever the name of those movies were. I don't see those films anymore. I don't like those movies anymore. I try to blot them out of my mind.
Okay, I we didn't say one thing about the Texas governor race.
Right, and I stayed on the phone, and what do I get for my trouble? I made to look like 100 yards of ass, and I resent that.
I think, Larry, you did it yourself, and particularly if what you said to her is true, there's no question in my mind what happened that night. I wouldn't want to talk about that date either.
All right, well, you know something? You're all wrong, and you can all go straight to where the devil craps hot, burning coals and laughs about it. Thank you and good night. And I'll tell you what, you hang up on him?
I did, and I'm hanging up on you too, Jack, because we got to take a break. World-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com, and I thank my guests for being with me. As bizarre as all of that was, it was worthwhile, I think, to some extent, just if nothing more than to see how you can talk about a double date many, many years ago, screwing up the political opinion of a guy 30 years later about a chick that he went, you know, anyway. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And we're here till 10 o'clock on the El Pacifico and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And good to be with you guys. You know, it's doing three-hour radio shows that has taught me one thing, and that is thank you, God, for not making me a benzodrine or a methadrine or crack cocaine or methamphetamine addict, because, you know, I could readily see how that would be a very attractive option, you know.
What in the hell are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is the energy that it takes to do a three-hour radio show. The kind of radio show I do? It takes more energy than any man alive has, to be perfectly honest with you. To be perfectly honest with you, only I. And even I run out of juice sometimes. So if there was some legal dispensary of speed, I would, you know...
What about coffee?
Coffee's fine, but thank you very much, bud. You know, you didn't get the coffee, man.
Yeah, you put on a list, man. Yeah, that's right, my son. You put on a list.
Well, did you put it on the list?
No, I didn't put it on the list.
Ha, 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 ha.
Fine. I didn't put it on the list. And so guess what I'm drinking? I'm drinking... what are you doing, Robert?
You know, talk about Mambo.
I ain't... Mambo?
Yeah, man. You break into that?
I'm not drinking Mambo malt liquor. What the hell is wrong with you guys?
Yeah, doing a Mambo.
Are you... You didn't bust into that Mambo, did you?
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that before I go on the air, I'm sucking down malt liquor? I just want to know. Is that what you think?
Well, he made the Mambo sign, and I'm wondering...
No, I didn't.
Well, why... The audience would like to know why you have about 15 half quarts of Mambo malt liquor out in the garage.
Because sometimes I like it cold, okay?
What? Man, I'm not being racist or anything, but that just isn't white people. White man can't do that. Shut up, man. There's way better a lot of swill you drink.
Yeah, bud, you know, you're still drinking that moonshine your uncle makes, okay?
Yeah.
So I'd rather drink Mambo malt liquor than that, than go blind, okay?
They ain't go blind. Well, not yet, anyway.
Yeah, but yet is the key phrase. The key word. The key phrase.
Word.
Word. Anyway, so, yeah, so what do I have? What's my option? What's my fallback? My fallback, so I go out, I'm making the coffee, and I find that can, whoever bought toffee-flavored coffee, Jack, I don't know whether or not the government will ever get around to making it illegal, but it is illegal once you set foot into any building owned by me, whether it be our studios, whether it be my home, whether it be my car. Anything. No toffee flavored nothing. Okay?
I thought you enjoyed the toffees. I love them.
What do you mean, the toffees?
It's a very... Toffee is a very traditional candy from England. All right? Now then.
Well...
No, not well anything. Toffee is a traditional candy from England.
I don't like it. I won't eat it, and I won't have it anywhere near me.
And why is that?
Because I don't like the way it tastes. I don't like it. I like coffee, and I like chocolate, but I don't like toffee. And one thing I will not have is toffee-flavored coffee. I mean, that's as bad as it gets, man.
Well, I looked at that can, mister, and it's sort of like butterscotch, you know?
Butterscotch? What do anybody that would serve me butterscotch coffee is basically saying, please kill me. Please kill me. Do you remember the movie we saw the other night, Creation of the Humanoids?
Yeah.
Remember when the doctor said, you kill me? He was telling...
Yeah, he told him he wanted a robot to kill him.
What are you talking about?
It's a movie we saw the other night, Creation of the Humanoids, and the doctor, he was about to get arrested, so he told the robot, you kill me. You know, because it was an R-96.
Yeah, it was R-96. They was the ones that was able to kill.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Never mind. You got to watch the movie. So the R-96 wasn't aware that he was a robot. All he knew was that he was, he thought he was human. So he looks at the doctor and goes, you say my sister's in rapport with a clicker, you bet I'll kill you.
I'm home.
I didn't see it, Phil.
Well, in any event, so yeah. So that's what people will be saying.
Boy, I think Phil needs to lay down.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, are you okay, sir?
I'm fine, bud. I'm fine. But if anybody serves me toffee anything, it's like you're that doctor in the humanoid saying, please kill me. You kill me. And I'll say to you,
say I'm in rapport with a clicker, you bet I'll kill you.
No, it's you say my sister's in rapport with a clicker.
Yeah.
My sister's in rapport with a clicker. God, that movie's great. If you haven't seen Creation of the Humanoids, then you're letting the best part of the day pass you by, man. I'm telling you, it's the greatest film I think that's ever been made, with the, you know, a few exceptions here and there. And if it means anything to you, supposedly it's Andy Warhol's favorite movie, which...
No, that doesn't mean anything.
Okay. Grants Pass, Oregon. This story we thought was of special interest because Grants Pass, Oregon is the city where our former company, the former company that, quote, syndicated us, end quote, exists. In Grants Pass, Oregon, a 14-year-old boy shot and killed two men during a deer hunting trip in the Blue Mountains of northeastern Oregon, then accidentally shot and wounded himself. The teenager fled after shooting the men, but then apparently accidentally shot himself in the leg and returned to the cabin where his group was staying for help, according to the Grant County Sheriff's Office. Another member of the group held the boy at gunpoint, forced him to get on the floor, then taped him to a chair. The timing of the shootings was unclear, but police were dispatched to the remote location before 1 a.m. this morning, Thursday morning, where it's still, you know, Thursday in some parts of the country here, and, quote, took charge of the crime scene and the boy, the statement said. The boy. Deputies were called to the scene by the cabin's owner, who had fled and drove about 9 miles to the tiny town of Granite. The hell? There's a lot of fleeing going on in this thing, isn't there?
Wait a minute. What? Who fled what?
The boy shot two men during a deer hunting trip, accidentally shot himself, then returned to the cabin where his group, I guess the group that he was hunting with or staying with, he returned to that cabin for, quote, help, according to what he told the Grant County Sheriff's Office. Another member of the group that was in that cabin, I guess, wasn't buying the kid's story or otherwise didn't trust the kid and held him at gunpoint, forced him to get on the floor, and then taped him to a chair. The timing of the shootings was unclear, but police were dispatched to this remote location before 1 a.m. on Thursday and took charge of the crime scene and this kid. Deputies were called to the scene by the cabin's owner, who had himself fled and drove about 9 miles to the tiny town of Granite, Oregon, according to authorities. Now, the boy and the two victims, age 43 and 64, were from the Baker City area, about 25 miles east of Granite. No names were released. The boy was taken by ambulance to a hospital in Baker City, then flown to a hospital in Boise, Idaho. Linda Payne Smith, who's the vice president of marketing and communications at St. Alphonsus Hospital, said on Thursday evening she could not comment on whether the boy was still at the hospital or what his condition was. Now, according to this story, he was at a hospital in Baker City, which I'm assuming is St. Alphonsus, and then he was flown to Boise, Idaho.
Why'd he fly him on to there?
Because they probably had, Margaret?
Well, they probably had facilities at the hospital in Boise that they did not have in Baker. Whatever that might be.
Yeah, probably like a kid's leg gonna fall off or something like that.
What do you mean his leg's gonna fall off?
Well, if they have the ability to sew the leg back on. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, do you think that's the problem?
Yeah, it probably is. He shot him so with a leg coming off.
Oh, get out of here. This leg's... And I agree with you that there's probably some facility or some kind of medical service or some equipment they have at the Boise, Idaho hospital that they don't have in Baker City. But whether it's the ability to sew a leg back on...
Well, Phil, I don't know.
Okay. Sheriff Glenn Palmer declined to answer questions about a possible motive or the relationship between the boy and the two men. He said it likely would be Friday before any names are released, and the victims' families have been notified. Granite was established after the discovery. What are they telling me about Granite? They're giving me the history of Granite. I want to know about this kid shooting people. Anyway, Granite was established after the discovery of gold in 1862 and had only 38 residents with a median age of 62 when the 2010 census was taken. It has a motel and a combination restaurant general store for business. The cabin on the edge of the Umatilla National Forest in southwest of Granite on private land off a U.S. Forest Service road. Hunting has long been a pastime in the area. In the 1970s and 80s, sawmills would close for the first time of, for the first week of deer season. And kids would skip school so families could go hunting and going to hunting camps, said Mike Wickard, owner of the Discount Firearms in Baker City. Good Lord.
What do you mean, good Lord?
I don't know. There's something about a place called Discount Firearms that just doesn't quite rub me the right way. Not that I've got nothing against. I mean, go stay in business. But now the sawmills are gone and deer are less plentiful. The only reason I go hunting now is my grandson wants to, Wickard said. It's more a male bonding thing for me. So it sounds to me like the great days of the sawmills and the plentiful deer and, you know, this are a thing of the past, and now these are the dark, dark days of murder and self-inflicted wounds and discount firearms. It all sounds very, very creepy.
I don't get it, man, but guy gonna shoot himself is probably what he sewed a leg on.
Yeah. Okay, that's great, man. Folks, Boise, Idaho has a hospital where they sew legs back on.
Why are you saying that?
Because these guys want to know why the guy was taken to Boise.
I already told you.
Yeah, about the leg.
No, I didn't say the leg. You said the leg. It's some facility that they have. I don't know. Maybe they are able to do brain transplant surgery, bud.
Yeah, good place for you, bud.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
Okay, anyway, we'll be right back here in a world-famous Phil Henry show with the conclusion of this marvelous radio program that we all have been doing for y'all here this evening. We've got a few other news stories to get to. This one's... I'm going to be interested to find out how this thing came down, man, this whole thing that happened in Umatilla there near Granite, near Grants Pass. We'll keep you updated. The world-famous Phil Henry show here on this Thursday night, Friday morning. Reminding you to get a backstage pass. And this is the month of October. It's the Halloweeny month, baby, with the Pastor William Rennick Silver Bullet Special on the website. Get yourself a backstage pass, and we'll stick something in your sack, Jack. Hey, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Oh, it's the last segment here of the program here on this here Thursday night. Man, it's hot. It's hot in here. I'm going to get me a Coca-Cola. The hotter it gets, the more southern I get, man. The hotter it gets, the further south mentally we all get around here. It's just the way it is, you know.
You got to talk about Coca-Cola.
Yeah, because when I worked in Atlanta, and I worked in Atlanta, and what I mean by that is I spent a year in Atlanta at WSB Radio, and... Not that that was significant, because there are better radio stations down there. But nonetheless, that's where I was. And
well, you don't have to take the shot like that.
Well, why not, man? I'm on a different station down there now, and it's a better station. So anyway, I'm on WCFO, and we're very happy to be there. Now, I'm down there, and we had a great guy. His name was Ludlow Porch. I love Ludlow. I don't know where he's at. I haven't heard from him in a long time. Luddy Porch. And he was a sweet guy, and he was a longtime Atlanta broadcaster, and we talked occasionally, and he'd say, I'd say, now, Ludlow, where are you broadcasting from? Man, I'm up here north, up in Suwannee, you know. He had that kind of talk, you know. He had that great, I said, like a southern hipster almost, yeah. Yeah, man, I don't go down to Atlanta no how, you know. I don't go down that toilet down there. And
he called Atlanta a toilet?
Well, no, he didn't call Atlanta a toilet. He called something else a toilet. But so he had his own studio up in Suwannee. And Ludlow, man, this cat was Atlanta through and through. And by that, I mean, I tell you what, a man, if he on fire, I wouldn't put him out with a Pepsi. That's what he used to say. You know?
Guy, we put a guy out with a Pepsi?
Yeah. If you were on fire, Ludlow wouldn't put you out with a Pepsi.
What's that mean?
It means that the Pepsi is looked down upon in Atlanta, right?
Yes. Atlanta is the capital of Coca-Cola country.
Oh.
Yeah, take it easy, bud, okay?
Well, yeah, they got the Coca-Cola Museum.
They have the Coca-Cola Museum down there? Man, they got the whole damn thing, Jack. I mean, Atlanta is Coca-Cola country. Don't even worry about it. When you go downtown, you go down to Five Points, which is right down in the heart of Atlanta, and that's where the Five Points station is. There's the MARTA station's there, and lots of restaurants. They have Underground Atlanta there. It's a lot of fun, which is literally underground. And I forget what the history of the underground was, but I think it was like the original city of Atlanta was about 10 feet lower than it is today, something like that. But you literally go down under the street, and there are shops and bars. There's a jazz club down there called, I think it's called Dante's Down the Hatch or something like that, where you crawl into this club. I'm telling you the truth now. It's a hatch. You go down a ladder.
Oh, will you get serious, Phil?
No, you go down. I'm telling you, it's a hole in the ground, and you go down a ladder. And that's how you get into this club. And so that's the club there, and you know, the whole thing is great. And then they have good restaurants, and they have this Coca-Cola Museum, man. And that's where it's at, you know.
Do that guy again.
Yeah, so Ludlow would say, man, if the man was on fire, I wouldn't put him out of Pepsi.
He talked like that.
Yes, that's the Georgia way, you know. They all talking like that. And the whole thing with that part of the South, which is very interesting, and I've always chalked it up to the fact that it's hot. You know, everybody talking like this down there, man, it's damn hot, man. Man, it is so damn... I ain't going to talk fast. I ain't going to move fast. I ain't going to do nothing fast because it's hot, you know, and I don't want to do nothing. So that was kind of, my education. I like Atlanta. I like Atlanta a lot. It's a conservative city, and by conservative, I don't mean politically. I mean that it is in terms of its manner, in terms of its pace, in terms of the way people behave, and it's a very conservative city. They're very proper people. They're church people. They like their music. They like their baseball and their football and their sports. They love all that. They love to party, but they love food. Atlanta's got some damn good restaurants. And to quote that waiter, I took my mother. My mother came to visit me in Atlanta, and we took her out to dinner one night. And she was going through the menu, and the waiter is standing there very impatiently. She says, "Well, I don't want to make you wait." So he said, "Darling, this is food. This is serious business."
That the waiter talked like that too.
That same guy on the radio?
No, it wasn't the same guy on the radio.
Yeah, the little Portuguese guy with the waiter.
No, he wasn't the waiter. You guys trying to be funny or something?
No.
Then knock it off. No, it wasn't the waiter. It was the waiter. The other guy was the radio guy.
Well, who was the one that said I wouldn't pee on him if he was on fire? Oh, look, Phil, we're only kidding.
All right, well, then tell me you're kidding. He said if a guy was on fire, I wouldn't put him out with a Pepsi. That was Ludlow. The guy that said this is food, it's serious business, was a waiter.
Well, what was the restaurant?
I don't know. I forget. All right, enough about Atlanta. A little bit more about what's in the news here. Just one other story here. Wall Street, odds of a U.S. default. See, that's probably how they see it at Atlanta, see?
We get it, Phil.
All right, I just was fooling around. Anyway, Wall Street, odds of a U.S. default close to zero, or default. As fights go, Wall Street views the slugfest between Democrats and Republicans over the government shutdown as the undercard event. The main bout is the coming showdown over raising the debt ceiling and making sure the U.S. has enough cash to pay its bills and avoid the unthinkable defaulting on debt. The shutdown is a sideshow, said Brian Belsky, chief investment strategist at BMO Capital Markets. And Brian, by the way, will probably be very hard to reach once the actual debt fight comes, because everything that he said would happen probably won't happen. And then when they say, Mr. Belsky, please, he's the chief investment strategist at BMO Capital Markets. Oh, we're sorry, he's on a vacation in Switzerland right now. There's a big difference between the hit to confidence and the economy due to the government temporarily closing for business. What I heard today was that Boehner is not going to let the United States government default on its debts, that the Speaker will finally come to his senses, or at least he's allowed this nonsense to go on long enough. He's going to organize the Republicans of the House. He's going to get the votes, and they're going to get a CR passed. And you can tell the Tea Party to take it and stick it so far up there that they'll have to open their mouths to see where they're going. Thank you.
Well, it's about time.
Well, look, I understand everybody has their point of view, and they want to make their point very clear. But at some point, you got to get serious, start acting like a human being, and be patriotic and help your country and move this country forward. And the problem is, these jackasses in Congress don't understand, I'm sorry to say this, folks, they don't understand just how thick some of the American people are. The American people see this stuff, and they think this is real stuff, and they follow it, and like it's a religion, and they repeat everything they hear, and they repeat all the arguments, and they don't know that they're being taken for a ride by these jackasses until it's too late. And I got to tell you, we have to take responsibility here, man. So, if Michelle Bachmann stands there in front of TV cameras that she did today and she said, oh, we're going to win this fight, she knows full damn well she isn't going to win anything. She ain't even going to win her. She's not even going to be serving in the United States Congress much longer. So when Michelle Bachmann stands there and says that, and she's got a bunch of chumps back in Minnesota where else believing this stuff, man, you got to,
These on fire wouldn't put about Pepsi.
Okay, go ahead and make your little jokes, bud,
Now, Phil, relax, will you? Just back it down about 16 decibels.
All right. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Matt's been producing us back in our control room there in D.C. We also have Margaret Gray and Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. We thank all of our guests. We thank all of our affiliates. We thank all of our advertisers. We thank the L.A. Podfest. We'll be there on Saturday starting at 4. Bobby Dooley at the L.A. Podfest Saturday. See you tonight or tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Phil Henry Show.
Remember, if I he's on fire, I wouldn't put him out with a Pepsi.
Why don't you shut up, man?
You shut up.